Now, the first thing I want to talk about is jailing parents who refuse to pay maintenance. Should parents who don't pay maintenance be jailed? Earlier on the show, we were talking about single parents, mainly mothers, choosing to stay at home, raising their children instead of working. And the conversation came from an email sent in from a single mother who says she chooses to stay at home on benefits so she can raise her children. She doesn't agree with someone else in a creche, for example, raising her children who are both under the age of six. Now, one caller did get in touch to say that the elephant in the room here was the fathers that get away scot-free with no responsibility, which is one of the reasons we have single parents. She said that men need to be made responsible for their children financially and otherwise. And that got me thinking about our laws on maintenance and how some parents do choose to walk away from parenting. Men and women, by the way. It's not always, by the way, the men that walk away. Some women choose to walk away too and leave the father holding the baby, so to speak. I hear so many stories of single parents trying to make ends meet and not getting any financial help from the child's other parent. Not so long ago, the Sinn Féin proposed that prison time for people who consistently refuse to pay child maintenance. And the idea is that it would act as a deterrent for anyone considering not paying child maintenance. Now, by the way, the law at the moment stands that you can go to jail for not paying child maintenance if you're capable of paying it. If you're not capable of paying it, you can't be sent to jail, which is kind of bizarre. Isn't it? So once you have the money and refuse to pay it, they can invariably send you to jail, which is a daunting idea, isn't it? It's a horrible position to be in. I can only imagine what it would be like to be standing in a courtroom and have some woman that you were married to at some point, possibly, or you were separated from, and she demanding maintenance, and for whatever reason you're refusing to pay it, and the threat of going to jail. Gosh, isn't it amazing that you could be with somebody for so long and, you know, and be part of the life for so long, and then they'll be happy to see you go to jail. But that's kind of a different situation. But anyway, the point is, the idea is it would be a deterrent. And according to the Citizens Information, in cases where a parent, spouse, civil partner fails to comply with a court order and does not pay the awarded amount, an attachment to earnings order can be sought from the court that the person is in employment on a private pension. The order results in the maintenance amount being deducted at source from the parent's spouse, civil partner's employer. But it doesn't happen much in this country. The point is, should somebody who doesn't pay maintenance go to jail? There is an argument that we can't be so tough on it, because sometimes the person looking for the maintenance is not being as honest as they should be and may have a job on the side, and the person who's paying the maintenance shouldn't actually be paying that much maintenance. Or, for example, they sometimes, in some cases, maybe a man will hold back not pay maintenance because the partner won't let him see the kids. So it's used as some sort of bargaining chip. I'll pay you the maintenance provided you let me see the kids. So, it takes away the bargaining chip then if you're going to say, well, you're going to go to jail if you don't pay it. So, I want to ask you a question. Should a parent be jailed if they refuse to pay maintenance? Some people think that's the wrong way to approach it because, as I said, you know, there is an access problem too, that men don't get access to their children and will say to their wives or ex-wives, I'm not paying any maintenance, I'll let them get to see the kids. And if we brought in laws like that, well, then we'd just be sending people to jail and then they definitely wouldn't be paying maintenance, so there's no point. So let me know, do you believe people should go to jail for not paying maintenance? The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. You can WhatsApp it. Pardon me, I have the hiccups tonight. Or you can text us, that's 087-188-0008. Or indeed, by the way, if you want to give us a call and you want to get involved in this conversation, you can call us on 1850-410-494. That's 1850-410-494. Michael, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Michael?
Good evening, Noel.
Good. Michael, do you believe we should, you know, be more strict about... You know, you can go to jail, by the way, for not paying maintenance if you have the money and you're refusing to pay, if you know what I mean. But
yeah.
It's unusual for somebody to be sent to jail in this country for not paying maintenance.
Yeah, it depends on how you act in front of the judge, really. It depends what humour the judge is in.
Well, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, and whose side the judge is on, yeah.
What side of the bed you got out of as well.
Yeah, or she, as the case may be.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, should it be just, you know, a dumb thing that people who refuse to pay maintenance go to jail? Because, invariably, what's happening is the taxpayer is picking up the tab for children, you know, whose fathers are not paying maintenance.
Well, the taxpayer is picking up the tab in a lot of ways, but, I mean, like, a lot of these women as well who are taking men to court, like, 32 counties in this country, right, and every one of them has a district court, and every week those district courts are open, and every week there's women who are using legal aid, free legal aid, to take men to court, and that legal aid is at a minimum of €800, so a solicitor is getting €800 every week, multiple solicitors on the taxpayer for these women who are dragging men into court to pay for a measly €20 or whatever it is that they want from the man a week. So it's all about money. It's hypocritical to say that men aren't all. You've nailed it there, saying like explaining all the things there. Like, you know, a lot of women don't let men see the kids.
And I know it's used as a bargaining tool. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's a really complex situation. It's very, very complex, and on top of that, like, you send people to jail, right? And that's going to cost more money on the state. More taxpayers have to pay
that. Well, realistically, if you send a guy to jail for not paying maintenance, well, you have no chance of getting the maintenance then.
Yeah.
Because he's most likely going to lose whatever job he might have.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just, the system is twisted and contorted and messed up. And I'll tell you one thing, all those solicitors and barristers driving up the M50 and their Range Rovers and Mercedes Benzes are laughing to the bank. They love it. It's a racket.
Yeah, I agree with you, because the more twisted and complicated the system is, the more time they spend in the courtroom and the more money they get.
Oh, you better believe it, yeah. It's a joke. And we're all paying for it.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm going through a whole family law process at the moment, so I understand yeah, the whole process and how it works, yeah, better than you might think, Michael.
But, I know, I believe you.
But in saying that, you know, when you come down to the crux of it, I mean, my situation is slightly different. My kids are a bit older now, right?
Yeah.
My youngest is nearly 18. But when you've got somebody, you say, you know, a guy and a girl who are together and their kids are all under the age of, say, 6 or 7, maybe they have 4 kids, all under 10, you know, somebody has to pay for those children.
Absolutely. Now, I'm not against that. Yeah, not against that. But the way it is, right, like, it's women who are getting these payments. That's just the way it is at the moment, right? They get single parents allowance, they get rent allowance, they get children's allowance, and they want maintenance on top of this. And a lot of these women are hitting up the Vince and the Paul and everything, and they're getting furniture and all sorts of things. I know women, right? Now, women, I'm not attacking you. I know I'm triggering the whole of Dublin. I know I am. But I know women out there with like £600 iPhones and no baby formula in the press, no nappies, no food. Their kids haven't got the right clothes, but they've got the best iPhone to take selfies, put them up onto Facebook and all these other things that they do. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
So claiming they've no money, but they have money for their own little luxuries.
Yeah, they're like magpies. They want shiny things. No, I'm not joking.
They're not magpies, Michael. Some of them are happy to get the basics, you know.
I know. Some of them are. There's really great women out there. I know there is. Mm. But the bad ones are making a mockery of everything. And
the thing about it is, if these guys who walk away from situations were forced, their arms were twisted a little bit more to pay maintenance, it would save the taxpayer money if it was done legitimately. Because when a woman gets a single parent payment, if the father is paying, say, 60 quid, let's say it's just one child for the sake of the argument, right? And he's paying, say, 60 quid maintenance. Well, that 60 quid comes off her social welfare payment because he's paying a portion of it.
Yeah, but that depends upon honesty.
Well, it does depend on honesty. Yeah, he's
straightforward.
If he's giving her cash, it doesn't matter then, does it?
Yeah, but you're like, I mean, I think there's much cleverer and less destructive ways and less costly ways on the taxpayer to get money to make people pay their fair share for their kids. Mm-hmm. If they're your kids, you've got to pay for them. And like another thing as well, and I'm sorry, but there's like, We're supposedly living in a time of equality now, right? Where, like, you know, sex is a part of that, and sex should be equal as well. And women have to kind of take responsibility as well in terms of sex. Like, they have to be honest about their contraception. Are they on the pill, this, that, and the other? Because women lie about this. And there's guys out there who basically thought they were getting into a one-night stand, and that was the end of it, and then the woman hits them up and says, I'm pregnant, and then he has to deal with all this.
For the next 18 years of his life, yeah.
Exactly. But now, like, guys as well know full well that if you have sex, you're going to have a baby. Guys shouldn't be stupid as well, but, I mean, it's a very complex situation.
Well, we now have legislation in this country where a woman can have an abortion, right?
And we have to pay for that. That's taxpayer.
Absolutely, yeah. But there is an argument out there that a woman can choose to be a mother where a father can't choose to be a father. It's not really. I mean, if a guy and a girl get together in a one-night stand and 3 weeks later she rings him up and says, listen, a bit of bad news. You remember that one-night stand we had the night after Coppers? Well, I'm pregnant. Well, he'll say, well, look, I don't want to be a father, so I tell you what, I'll fix you up for the abortion. Here's a few quid. And she goes, well, I don't want an abortion. I want to have a child. I want to be a mother. And he goes, well, I don't want to be a father. So where do you... I know that might sound philosophical to you. If we are talking about equality, I suppose you could argue that the father has no choice.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't be very popular for making that argument, by the way, particularly with pro-life people. But okay, but getting back to the original topic, so do you believe we should be stricter when it comes to maintenance orders?
I think we could tighten up on it, yeah, and we could, like... Men don't like being bullied, intimidated, and told what to do. If men were treated with a bit more respect and approached in a more diplomatic manner, because I know guys who receive letters from the social welfare and this, that, and the other, saying you have to pay for your kids and this kind of thing, you have to pay.
Or a letter from the district court demanding they pay. No,
the social welfare send out letters now to guys saying that you have to pay money.
Yeah,
stuff like that, and it's real threatening kind of thing. Like, it's they need to do it in a more diplomatic way, kind of thing. If this problem, there's gone like 100 years from now, there'll be guys not paying for their kids. Like, it's just the way it's going to be. But
they have a different system. If you go to Northern Ireland or the UK, they have a different system. Whereby
they're subsidised to death up there.
Yeah, but they have a system. They have the Child Protection Agency or services or whatever it's called, right? Where if a mother's getting no luck getting the money from the father, she just goes to this agency. They collect the money, they pay the mother, and they collect the money from the father. Now, they take a little bit of a cut. So out of 50 quid, they take 3 quid for themselves. So they're taking a little bit of a cut, like a commission for doing it, but they basically collect the money, and they'll take it from source if they have to.
Yeah, well, I mean, taking it from source is another way to kind of... It's not as personal then. You don't feel it as... It's kind
the
of,
only problem is you can't take it from a self-employed person. That's the biggest problem.
Well, that's the thing. You won't get a perfect system, but I mean...
Yeah.
Like, another thing as well, like, a lot of women take money, they get the money, they go to court, they get the money, and then they don't spend it on the kids. That's another thing, and that's another thing guys don't want to pay money for. So if there's a way to kind of give women, instead of giving them money, if a woman says, well, the kid needs new shoes, well, there's a shoe voucher, or the kid needs new books, or clothes, or food, or whatever, I set up a program that way, and then they know... The stuff is going to the kids then. It's not
that's being what they do in some states in America. I know that we talked about this before. The southern states, social welfare in general is given out on a card. And basically it can't be used, say, for example, in an off-license or in a bookies. But it can be used in a supermarket to buy food or to buy petrol or whatever it is. So
good idea.
Or it can't be used outside the state.
Yeah, and it goes to the kids.
Yeah, so in other words, it's used for the right reasons. It's used to buy food and clothes and things that are necessary rather than being used on other things.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And even supermarkets then can do, because people are always complaining about low quality food, that they can't afford good food. Supermarkets could do deals then on those vouchers and give good quality meat and good quality this, that and the other for the vouchers. Like, there's lots that could be done here, you know?
Okay, well, somebody, by the way, says, hey, the guy on is very much talking about how bad women are. Very unfair. Maintenance doesn't touch the sides. Oh, hold on, I'm losing that here. Maintenance, I've lost it. It's gone, sorry. I'll try and read it out again in a second. Lose it. They always just click on them and they disappear on me on the screen. Let me go to Joe. Joe, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Joe?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Joe, what about maintenance? Do you believe that we should have a stricter system when it comes to maintenance?
Stricter system, yes. I don't think prison would solve anything. Because putting someone in prison because they don't pay is not going to make them pay.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in prison, so it makes no sense. But I do like the idea of having an agency specifically for that. And I like the idea of the agency with the cars just for the child, where it could only be for shoes or clothes or school books.
So it can't be spent in the pub?
Yes, just for the child. A maintenance, kind of a maintenance card that could be topped up every month with what the other parent has to do.
And that wouldn't be very difficult to do. Oh, by the way, just to finish reading that text that person sent in, very fair, maintenance doesn't touch both sides as to what a mother pays whilst raising kids, and I've never complained once. What about the bad men that are out there, good and bad on both sides, says Sarah. Sorry, she wants to say that in respect to what Michael was saying. She believed Michael was being unfair on women, but haven't
I? I don't disagree with that texter, but I'm just talking about, like, I just see women bankrupt in the system with these €800 solicitor fees every single week in 32 counties of this country. And, like, that is, you know, that's... There are I agree with that text for 100%, but it's bad on both sides. But I'm just...
Yeah, you know what? I do understand the point you're making about the legal system. Yeah. Sorry, to finish what you're saying, Joe, but Joe, do you believe that putting somebody in jail is the answer?
No. No. I don't think it fixes anything. I think the answers can be a bit more simple if there was something specific that could deal with that, and do it from a practical way, like with a card that could be checked, because it is for the child and just for the child. And that would be easier and more practical. It wouldn't waste time in court. It wouldn't waste space in prison. Because prison, I don't think really it goes anywhere.
Well, if you go to prison, you probably lose your job, and
you'll have no money.
So
yeah, you're doing nothing. You're wasting money that could be used for a prisoner that
the only argument is that it is a deterrent to stop people from avoiding paying it. In other words, most people don't want to go to jail, so it's a deterrent.
Doesn't seem to be working, though. Would it work? You know, there are countries that have that, but does it really work? Does it solve the problem? I think what it causes is sometimes even more hatred. And the only people who end up really suffering
are the children. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So I think it should be made in a way that affects children as less as possible.
Well, stay there, because Sarah, you sent in that text a few minutes ago. Sorry, I didn't get to read it all at the same time.
That's okay, man.
Yeah, sorry, you thought Michael was being a bit unfair generally on women.
Yeah, I just thought it was very one-sided. Like, I mean, not all women police the system, and not all women, you know, take everything that they can get for nothing.
Well, he did say there was some good women out there. He did say it wasn't all women.
No, I know, but it was very much, I mean, it was very much the bad side of things. Do you know what I mean?
Well, there is a bad side. He is right. There is the girl out there with the mobile phone worth 700 quid and no nappies in the press.
Yeah, I agree. And that's terrible. But there's also the good men and the bad men and the good women. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And with regards to going to jail, I think it should be a case-to-case thing. I mean, if a man doesn't want to pay maintenance and also wants to leave their kids, not bother, then the court shouldn't put him in jail, because maybe the woman is happy enough for him to make that decision and for not to prolong things and make things harder. Do you know what I mean? I think it has to be case to case. But there are women.
I spoke to a girl there last year, and she wasn't getting maintenance from her partner. And I said, why don't you pursue him? And she said, I don't want him having any part of the children's lives.
Yeah.
But that's her choice. But the problem is, her choice affects the taxpayer, because then the taxpayer is funding the children, because she's made a decision that she doesn't want the father being part of the children's lives.
But are they, though? Because that's only the case if she's on social welfare. I mean, I'm not on social welfare, and I have four kids.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Are you a single parent?
No, I have a blended family.
Right.
But, I mean, my ex pays maintenance. And he always has. He's always been very good with it. But I do also think that, you know, I think that if you have a child with somebody, you should pay maintenance. And the money that, I mean, obviously, like, I don't get, you know, rent allowance and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, the money that you do spend when you're not getting it all given to you on a child is massive. And it's never ending. That list never ends.
Why not?
You know, so maintenance is basically a little help towards a summer camp or whatever, that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't make a massive dent in the hole, you know?
It's a fair point, Michael, because, you know, to raise a child, they say, costs about 10 grand a year. You know, they're not cheap.
You raise a child, you need all the help you can get, financially, otherwise, whatever, but it's not fair to burden everyone else with your need for finances, and that's what's happening. By both sides, men.
Obviously, in Sarah's case, it's different because she's met somebody else, and that's, you know, the deal there. Obviously, she's got. I'm assuming, Sarah, you have children from your ex and from your new partner. By the way, I often wonder that. Is it your new partner's responsibility to fund your children, or how does that work?
Well, he has a child from another.
So you've one big happy family, right?
So, yeah.
So many kids we got all together. So you've four all together, is it?
Four and a bonus. bonus child.
Right. Four and a bonus child. So, Michael, you know, the world has become a complicated place. There's no doubt.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's very complex.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, if everybody sometimes paid their due, Michael, you know, and if a guy, you know, is in a situation where he's walking away from some woman with two or three kids, he does have a responsibility. Half, really, 50% of a responsibility to those children.
He does. But we need to do it in a way, we need to get him to pay in a way that doesn't end up costing us even more money. Like, I'll give an example. Like, we want him to pay £50 a week or £100 a week or whatever, and we end up setting up a system where it costs us £1,000 to get him to pay £100, and then everyone's cashing in. Do you know what I mean? All these guys cashing in, and that system up the north. Like, it's easy to do up there, the north, because it's subsidised and it's only six counties and there's a lot smaller people. But I can guarantee you,
they do it in the UK as well. They do it in the UK.
If we set that up, I guarantee you, it'll be a for-profit system. It'll become a for-profit system, like the tolls and the parking meters and everything else, and it'll just become a joke. And we'll still be.
I know in the UK they're very strict about it. The same system in the UK now, they do take a small percentage for collecting it for you, but they do pursue these fathers who otherwise would get away with not paying.
I know.
You know, and they do pursue them, and they take it from their social welfare at source. They'll take it from their, in the UK, as far as I know, they can get attachment orders from your bank accounts. They can do all
sorts. Great idea.
Yeah, it is.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Because you have to pay, Michael. That's the bottom line. You have to pay.
No, absolutely.
If you were still in love and happy together, you'd be paying. You know what I mean?
You pay for your kids, but it's
tip the wick, as they say.
Yeah, but we have a system in Ireland that Ireland's like the people in the legal system, the barristers, the judges, the solicitors. If we set up that kind of a system, they'll be out of pocket. So they're not going to be too happy about it. So you can be guaranteed that system will not be set up here. I guarantee you it won't be set up. It'll be some sort of other system where the taxpayer ends up paying for everything, as per usual, with everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we could, if we were wise about it, we could just...
Why do you need to bring a solicitor to a family law court? Something that really annoys me with people. You don't need a solicitor in most cases. I mean,
You'll get creamed if you don't.
I put yourself forward properly.
No.
And Sarah, you know, I'm kind of going through it at the moment right now. I can't talk about my own case up for obvious reasons, but you do need a solicitor.
People have done it, and they haven't gone in with a solicitor.
If you're intelligent, and you know the law.
Jeez, I'm fairly intelligent, Michael.
If you understand, not everyone understands legalese. You have to understand legalese, and you have to, you have to know how to write letters. If you're representing yourself, it's an awful burden.
There's a lot of stuff you wouldn't see. Sarah, you know, when it comes to family law, there's a lot of stuff you just wouldn't know as a lay litigant, as they say.
Well, when it comes to a maintenance order, you fill out, if you don't know what to do, ring Citizens Advice.
In relation to the maintenance order, Michael, you probably could do that without a solicitor. That's just really putting up your statement of means, giving it to a judge, and the judge looking at the two statement of means and going, okay, you owe X amount of money.
Yeah, but it's different law. If you're married, it's different to if you're single. If you're in a gay, that's changed now. They're the same current contract, but it used to be different in the civil
partnership.
So it depends on what kind of situation you're in. So what goes for a married person might not go for someone who's
civil partnership. Yeah,
and then someone who's
divorced. If you're divorced, it's another set of rules. But no, it's a solicitor. I went to court. I've been in court 9 times. The first time I went in, I got creamed out of it, and I learned very quickly.
Did you represent yourself?
Pardon?
Did you represent yourself the first time? Yeah.
Oh, I went in. I was in there like a.
You talked to a John Wayne in the Big Picture, did you?
I didn't have a clue. I didn't know when to stand up, when to sit down. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, it can be very daunting, by the way. For somebody who's not used to being in court, it can be very daunting, you know, to be standing there in front of a judge and be asked questions and swearing on Bibles and all that
kind of thing. And can you imagine if you hate your partner, if you don't take a lawyer, he's going to make your life a living hell. And you don't have a way to defend yourself.
Yeah, you have to defend yourself. And I think it's important, Sarah, that when you get to that point, particularly when it comes to separation and divorce, you really need a solicitor.
Oh, when it comes to that, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, probably for maintenance.
That separation, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different thing to maintenance. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I mean, a maintenance order is a maintenance order at the end of the day. And that is what you're talking about. When it comes to separation, good God, no. Yeah, it's a completely different ballgame, like.
Yeah.
But you have to, when you go to court for a maintenance order, you have to go and get one set up first.
When you do that, so in the district court, yeah.
That's
when you need a solicitor on your side to go through the details on that, so that you're not getting taken advantage of, basically. And they make a fortune from it. And then once that's set up, every time you go back to court after that, then the maintenance order is already set up. You've both agreed to it. And if one of you breach it, then that's when you go to prison for breaching the maintenance order.
Michael, can you explain to me what you mean, though, about getting fleeced? I mean, at the end of the day, right, the woman that you had a child with, you still have to pay for that child. And people are saying, oh, I'm going to go in and basically say my statement means, but I've done it in a way that I don't get fleeced. I mean, it's supposed to be a portion of your wage.
I know that, but...
She could also be looking for spousal maintenance as well. That's where it starts getting really complicated.
Oh, yeah, I know. Actually, look, you're going back to the marriage thing. I mean,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And claiming that she's incapable of working or something silly like that. You know what I mean? I can't work. He's denied me a right to earn a living.
No, but you know what I mean? I mean, so kids, they're entitled to basically be looked after.
And absolutely.
I mean, the main thing, I've always been, like, my ex is brilliant. He's always been the same every week. Do you know what I mean? Even if he was down and out and I'd tell him not to give it to me. Do you know what I mean? He was always still very good.
Jess, he sounds like a good bloke. Why did you leave him?
Yeah, just his legs.
He sounds like a nice bloke.
Not everything has to be bad. Do you know what I mean? And I mean, it wasn't bad. So,
yeah.
I mean...
Joe, are you still there?
Yes.
Yeah, Joe, you have a child. The dad of the child has gone AWOL. And
yeah.
Did you ever try and get maintenance off him?
I have, yes.
All right, and that just stopped then, did it?
He did. He flew the country.
Oh, he's gone.
He's gone.
And is he Irish?
God, no, no.
He wasn't Irish. He was Portuguese,
no.
Was he?
No. He was Brazilian.
Oh, he was Brazilian. All right, so there's no chance of getting that. You'll never see him again. He's off in Rio having a bowl.
Probably. But then again, I...
Does he ever contact you? Has he ever contacted you?
No, we never tried.
Right, but see, the sad part about it is he could wander back into that child's life in 10 years' time.
Mm.
When everything is paid for and everything is done.
You know, I doubt that, and for one specific reason, and it's going to sound really bad for a lot of people, but because my son has special needs, the chance of that happening, I would say he's...
Right, okay. I get what you were saying. Yeah,
Below zero.
Right, because he just felt himself that having a child was inconvenient. More so the fact that your child had special needs, that he wasn't willing to give up his or sacrifice his time for the child. Right, okay, I get you. Okay, hang on a second. Let me just go to Pauline as well. Pauline, you're on Classic Kids. And I just switch on? Pauline, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Matt. You're talking about with family law there.
Yeah.
A few years back, there was supposed to have been the introduction of people going to family law court, being allowed to have somebody with them.
Because the in-camera, yeah.
Yeah, it's my honest opinion that there's a deliberate reason why that wasn't brought in. I'd say so is that people would avail of solicitors.
I kind of agree with the in-camera, because otherwise you would have, you know, the curtains twitching. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You were supposed to have...
Bring a sister or a brother or a father or mother with you or whatever. Because in case people don't know, in family law cases for maintenance or for separation or divorce, nobody's allowed in the courtroom apart from the two people and the representatives.
But that's wrong, you know.
I don't think it's wrong. I think it's right. I don't think it's anybody's business except theirs.
And I'll tell you why. Because it means that you probably, like the chap who's been speaking there, who got leased, he said...
Fleeced.
I said creamed.
You straight back anyway. Now, getting back to Pauline. Sorry, Pauline, for cutting you a little bit short. Do you like the way I say Pauline? I don't think people pronounce the word Pauline properly. I always say Pauline.
I'm complimented highly. that's my first point, Matt. I think that should have been brought in. It should be an option, because not every you're the best expert in your own situation. People should have the option not to have to have a solicitor or whoever else is involved. I've never attended a separation or a divorce myself, so I don't know.
Well, the way do you know how they work, these cases? So what they do is, let's say...
I know how mine worked, but I don't know how they should work.
Well, how they work is quite simple. There's like 20 cases, say, for one day. They're all called into court together. The judge...
That's a call over, yeah.
They do a roll call to make sure everybody's there. And then they chuck everybody back out again, and they call people in one by one. And then it's just, say, the husband and wife, which or ex-husband and wife is the case maybe, because they're getting separated, and there are two solicitors, a court clerk and the judge, and that's it.
And a guard.
Oh, and a guard, just in case Hatton kicks off.
Really?
Yeah.
yeah. So the next point, I think that should have been brought in, that option. And I do believe, my honest opinion is, it deliberately wasn't brought in. So people have no choice or under pressure feel they should go to a solicitor or whoever else should be involved.
Well, let me ask Michael about that. Michael, do you think they should change the in-camera to allow, you know, say somebody to bring, you know, their mother with them or their brother or somebody, you know, family member for support?
No, I'll tell you why. Because people would be bringing in their new partners, this and the other, and there'd be violence in the court, and that's the reason they don't do it.
No, you could bring somebody for mediation as well. People
if you don't have somebody, people will bring in
their new boyfriend.
And you have
murder. People will do that.
I think he's got a point, Pauline. If you allowed, say, one person, you know, who is mediating, you could claim that, oh, should my partner's me mediator, you know, and you know, something could kick off in the court.
No, I mean a proper, like a person who's, like, sensible and isn't going
to
make...
Well, you are allowed to do that. If you don't have a solicitor, for example, if you're going into family law court and you don't have a solicitor, you can bring a mediator. You can bring somebody from mediation services with you. Mm. And that's your representative.
Yeah, but that was never brought in, that people could bring in a family member who would know a person's genuine situation.
But as Michael said already, you could say your new partner is a family member.
That wouldn't be like, that'd be like obvious, wouldn't it? I mean, these are judges. These are supposed to be educated people, sensible people, righteous.
And what happens if you know, you bring in your, you know, the ex-wife brings in her sister, and she starts
who hates you anyway.
And you know what I mean?
World War III in that court.
The world's body. I completely agree. To be murdered.
About it from a civilized point of view, but the second thing,
I have never known a family law case to be civilized. By the way, famous barrister told me once, the one thing that will never happen in a family law court is the truth.
Yeah, well, people perjure themselves on a daily basis.
And here's another interesting Irish fact for you. Do you know that we don't have perjury laws in this country?
Yes, and we know people trafficking laws either. Isn't that amazing?
Well, we do have human trafficking laws in the criminal sexual bill, whatever it is, 2011 or 12. There is human trafficking laws in relation to that for sexual purposes. But in saying
and
that,
on debt collection, yeah, either. That's just today.
Perjury. We didn't adopt the perjury laws back in the 1930s at the UK, because most of our laws come from the UK common law, and we didn't adopt the perjury law. So you can technically lie in court in this country and not be jailed for it.
For a living.
I'm not advising people should do it, because the judge can dismiss your evidence and ask you to leave the court. So that's, yeah, or you can be in contempt of court.
But now, the second point I want to make, Niall, is that I think men are really badly treated in this country where family law is concerned.
They are, yeah.
I don't think any mother should be allowed to say that it's her right to choose not to have the father of her child involved in their life. I think that should be against the law.
Well, it's the child's... See, you know, when it comes to access to children, it's not the father's right to see the child. It's the child's right to see the father, which is more important.
Yes, and the mother should not be allowed to...
No, you're right.
...affect that.
Well, you're 100% right, but unfortunately they do.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't be allowed.
Because they make up all sorts of nonsense sometimes. You know,
these are the people who sit there with their wigs and their robes who dissolve families every day. But they're not thinking about the child. If they don't put maintenance that's agreeable to both people involved for the child's sake, why are they squiggling the pen and not putting this in order, first of all?
Yeah, no, I agree with you in relation to that. Let me just stay there for a second. Let me go to Martin as well, because Martin, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Martin?
Yeah, Niall, how are you?
Think jailing is a bit extreme?
I don't think she's a bit extreme, but I think she's idealistic. I think Michael's probably more practical. And I don't mean to patronise you about that, Pauline.
Hang on, Pauline. Hang on, Pauline, for a second. Let Martin finish. Go on,
Pauline. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence about it. I get what you're saying about compassion and about support. But, like, it is, it'll be a world war zone out there in court. But anyway, I don't want to dwell on that. I text in because something struck me about your basic question, going back a bit, Niall, just in relation to jail term.
Yeah.
I think it's absolute criminal that a person is not paying maintenance, irrespective of the acrimony between families, right? The stress and all of that, it's absolutely criminal, right? And quite often, unfortunately, fathers use that as an excuse not to pay maintenance because she's a bitch or she's this and she's that. I think women are vulnerable in the situation because the maternal instinct will kick in, and outside of family law, and we know that family law, that the courts will always side on the mother 9 times out of 10. And that's in the Constitution as well. It's recognised as the children, the protective person is the mother. But notwithstanding all of that, my main premise really is that fathers and the law should reflect that they need to pay, that it should be legislation. It should be a legal obligation. And whether it's done through €20 on the dole or €30 on the dole, by Jesus Christ, people would feel that in the pocket. But it also emphasises a cultural shift on making people pay. You know, that children should be paramount. And really and truly, there's too many young people and men earning money, going out drinking every weekend, and don't share in the life of their children and will not contribute because they think she's a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So really, there's a reason for it now, because everybody has a PRSI number. I mean, what's the problem?
You know, the only problem is self-employed people. It's harder to get it unless you get an attachment order from the bank account.
Well, then get one. You know, yeah, I mean, but everybody's responsible for their children.
No, they're absolutely. This is my point, and I just think we have a liberal government, and the world is full of snowflakes, and unfortunately, people are afraid for political reasons to stand up to this kind of thing and put it out there.
About it, because, absolutely, you know, the breakdown of the family is the destruction of society, and
it's not
day of the week.
Pauline, I'm not sure I understood what you said, but I think what you're saying is that look, it's easy to fall down on the working class, and that where its ugly head perhaps is with the middle class and the middle class earners and the self-employed, and then people who are, you know, everybody will complain about not having enough money. But at the end of the day, there's too many people not paying £100 on a wages of £500, or even if it's £80, they're not paying.
Regardless of what their earnings are, it's just illogical. The whole system is laughable.
I get that, but that's and I mean this with respect, that's a generalised point. But we need to be specific, and I'm pissed off at this because I suppose I'm a separated father,
mm-hmm.
And I'm one of the lucky ones, I said this tonight before, that I get on with my ex, and now I don't always pay in every week, right, because we have that agreement ourselves because we get on so well, but my children get a hell of a lot more. Because I'm the one buying the goddamn JD shoes that they want. And teenagers,
yeah, and you know, when it comes to times for back to school, and you're paying your portion.
Absolutely. 100%. So I'm one of the lucky ones. But here's the thing. There's an awful amount of people who won't even bloody well give £20. And they'd rather spend 50, 60 euro in the pub, or go buy themselves nice shoes, or go on holidays. I see it in my work. I don't need to go into what I do, but I mean, I see it in my work every day. And it's very frustrating that society is like that. But we just need to.
Yeah, somebody has mentioned here, by the way, something we forgot to mention, which is maintenance orders are not only for children, they're also for women. In other words, you get a spousal maintenance order, okay?
What's that mean, Noel? What do you mean?
Well, a spousal.
No, just what do you mean?
A spousal maintenance order is when your wife takes you to court. She might have, say, two kids. You might be paying £50 a kid, and she takes you to court for maintenance for her as well.
Oh, for her? Well, absolutely. I mean, if you were vulnerable, that's what I'm saying about...
I think that should only be if somebody's over the age of 60 or something like that. I mean, they're quite capable of getting a job for themselves.
No, what I mean by vulnerable is, look, at the end of the day, the mother has to mind the children now. And it's
if they're young.
Well, okay, they're young. And if you have to work, I can only speak for myself, but my ex-wife works works a full-time job and is absolutely doing her best.
But then, okay? Well, then she's not entitled to spousal maintenance.
No, absolutely. I agree with you. But there are people who are not in that position. They may not have the qualifications. They may, for various reasons, be at home. They can't afford, or they don't have the qualifications to go and work. Or they don't have the earning potential. And there's too many vulnerable women out there minding children and absolutely struggling while asshole dads are not, and I'm not bitter. I don't want to come across like sour or bitter. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of sending somebody to prison. I don't think that will work. But I was saying to your producer that there should be some type of significant consequence.
A deterrent,
a huge deterrent. And partly, some of it's to do with the income, but it also should be on record. No more, Niall, if you went in for a credit card or a loan for a car, and you start to default on the payments, what happens?
Yeah, your credit rating is damaged.
Credit rating, right? And to me, it's more criminal to not pay into your children's welfare, their weekly welfare.
Well, you have a huge responsibility to them. You did produce them. Well, stay there for a second. And please stay there with me as well, Martin. And I want you to stay there, Michael, as well, because I want to talk to Anya in a second. Before I talk to Anya, I want to talk to Thomas, because he's been waiting ages. Thomas, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Thomas?
Hello, Niall. I just wanted to put a point across there. The conversation seems to be taking a hugely biased, gender-biased direction. So you're all talking about fathers who aren't paying maintenance.
Well, 85% of the time it is men that are not in the family home anymore. Yes.
Yeah, and the reason why that is, in my own situation, in the last 5 years, I haven't seen or spoken to my children for two of those years, not through my own fault. I've set up an account to pay maintenance when my eldest child was born. So there was never any time lapsed where maintenance wasn't
paid. And why have you not seen your children with them?
For my children. All sorts of hideous and cruel allegations were made against me.
Right.
Now, they've all been investigated.
What do they call that? A Section 61? Is it or something like that? When the court orders, if there's an accusation made of abuse or whatever it happens to be, it's the court orders a section something where they go off and interview the kids and all that.
There was actually a Section 47.
Section 47, that's it.
There was also a Section 20 report where they get social.
So there was a Section 47 done in my situation anyway. And what happened with that was that it was actually found that there was no concerns whatsoever about me as a parent, but there was concerns about the mother as a parent and her ability to parent. And it was thought that maybe she should be actually assessed. But when we went back into court about it, the judge didn't want to put the mother through that. So this whole conversation is actually extremely biased. So one parent, who just happens to be the father, there's no concerns about him, even though all sorts of hideous allegations have been made over the last 8 years.
But the mother is still the primary guardian, even though there's concerns about her.
Exactly. And this is borne out. I'm not the only person, because I've spoken to hundreds.
There is something in Irish family law about a mother not being a fit mother or a fit parent. And if you can prove that, now mind you, that's only to the extreme when somebody's an alcoholic or a drug user or something like that.
That's the way it seems, yeah. Because that question has been brought up by every association that has been involved in this. And that's the guards, solicitors, judges, social workers, the person that was employed to do Section 47, they've all questioned her ability to parent, every single one of them.
But yet, yet you're the one who still can't see your children.
And I'm still the one that can't see my children.
That's awful.
And I paid maintenance the whole way along. I'm not alone in this.
I know you're not alone.
Can I ask Thomas a question?
Thomas,
can I just ask you a question?
Obviously, Thomas is not his real name, by the way.
That's fine. But Thomas, can I just say, I'm so sorry that you're not seeing your children, because that would just absolutely kill me.
I was close to that, to be honest with you, and that thought has been prevalent in my mind.
I think that's the reason why it's been done,
but I'm far from alone in this.
But no, you weren't.
But what was the question? What was the question you want to ask him, Martin?
The question, because I agree. There's a huge bias, but it's a natural bias, I think. Because
I don't agree with that.
I think that may have been, sorry, Martin, but that might have been the case 40 years ago. You know, when the Constitution was written up. By the way, the Constitution does give preference to women in the fact that, and we want to take that out in the next referendum. By the way, that women should be allowed to stay at home and not have to work to provide for their children, right? And they're going to take this out of the Constitution and make it gender neutral, right? Because I do believe now there are a lot of fathers. Of those 85% who fathers get kicked out of the house and women left in the house with the children, I do believe there are a lot of those mothers who are not capable of being good mothers. A lot of those fathers would actually be better parents than the mothers.
Absolutely, and precisely for the point what Thomas is talking about, just in relation to mothers treating their ex-partner or husband very, very poorly and becoming very bitter. But what the question I wanted to ask just real quick was that, Thomas, did you not go to court just in relation to access?
I went into court because I was being accused of horrendous things. I don't want to go into that.
No, I understand that. But I just mean, so is it because of the allegations that you weren't allowed access to your children?
The reason, there were false allegations, just to make that very clear. And I totally
disagree. No, I understand that.
Can I speak?
Yes,
I totally disagree with you about this natural, that the mother is naturally a better parent. Because
I never said that, Thomas. I'm sorry. No, I missed. No, I said that wrong, perhaps. But what I meant was that in the courts, the judges generally will side with the parents. Now, they do listen to fathers.
I do think that's starting to change a little bit, which is a good thing to hear, by the way, because I've witnessed it. But just to clarify, Martin, because I'm a little bit confused as well. When you originally went, or not Martin, Thomas, when you originally went to court to access your children, the reason you were being refused access, was it because of the allegations that were being made against you?
The mother was making allegations. When we first went to court, the judge decided that I should be able to see my children that day.
Right.
So all these allegations were levelled against me. He told the mother he didn't believe what she was saying.
Right.
He found me to be very believable and genuine.
Yeah.
And he didn't find her to be believable and genuine. That's
right.
What he said. And that's been said all the way along. I've actually been in court 33 times.
Oh, my.
So did you see your children during that time?
You
said you hadn't seen them for 2 years, Thomas.
There was a two-year gap of me seeing them. So for when she made the allegations first, she did allow me to see them, funnily enough, but I always made sure that I had somebody with me because I didn't trust her.
You didn't want the accusations made, yeah.
And she has done that. So even though she has done that, and I've made sure to have somebody with me at all times, we've been through all sorts of things.
Isn't that awful, isn't it?
It's very painful to listen to.
I'm far from alone in this.
No, I know you are. I know there's a lot of cases very similar to yours, and it happens more specifically when children are younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when they don't have a voice, when they're not being able to give a voice because they're so young, but I believe that was done intentionally.
Yeah. What's your status now? Are you seeing, you're still not seeing them?
So I have started seeing them again more recently.
Are they supervised or unsupervised visits?
But no. So it was unsupervised for over 12 months, and now... because she's made more allegations, so this is the sixth or seventh times that she's made allegations.
Oh, God.
And every single one of them has been looked into. Files have been sent off to the DPP, come back, no concerns. Section 47 was done, no concern about the father. The guards have been involved, no case to hear, all of this. Now there's a child protection team involved. And their recommendation is that I make sure that I have somebody with me at all times.
Now, for your own protection, yeah.
That's what they're telling me.
Isn't that still awful that you're with your own kids and you have to have someone there?
Yeah,
no, but it just shows.
I can't so much as be with my own kids. And all the evidence shows that the concerns are of the mother.
It just shows you how even child protection teams' hands are tied.
But because they're shitting themselves, and the judges are shitting themselves, because with respect to Thomas, if it was another case and not Thomas, and they got it wrong, and let's say, you know, the person was actually an abuser or something like that, and they got it wrong, and they allowed the father unsupervised to see them, they'd all be in the shit. So well, they're all shitting themselves.
That's what I'm saying. We have a liberal bloody government who won't do anything about it, and people like Thomas are suffering, but also the children are suffering, and people like this lady, your ex-wife, is an abuser, and I can guarantee you that that's the fact, that she is an abuser. She's an emotional abuser.
Well, what the social workers are saying. The social workers are saying is that she is emotionally abusing the children. But they
and you
find it extremely well. That's besides the point. The children are the important people in this.
Well, I mean, your mental health is also important, Thomas, and all this too.
They're the most important people. Are the children? I fear.
Well, that's a very I'm delighted to hear you say that, because it's a very selfless way of looking at it. But I think, you know, from your point of view, I mean, and I've heard of so many cases and so many men who are, you know, absolutely traumatized by the situation that you're in.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I'm not, but I'm more focused on my children. And the social workers are saying that they can see that she is emotionally abusing the children, but they still allow the children to be with her.
That's just shocking. Stay there just for a second, because I want to go to Anya as well. And please stay there as well, Michael, because Anya, you're on Classic Kids. I'm sorry, I've gone well over time on this now. Anya.
How are you?
I'm sorry for holding everybody up here, but so many people have their own stories, I suppose. And we started initially talking about maintenance payments, but you're a single mum.
I am. I'm a single mum. And first off, I want to say that I do sympathise with that last caller, Thomas, because I do know that there's women out there that are very bitter and they use kids as weapons. But in my case, I do not agree with that. My ex, if you want to call him that, he left my child and I when she was 6 months. He went for a haircut, never came back. And
he went for a haircut and never came back.
Never came back. Yeah. So that was absolutely awful for me as a new mother, because I was 23 at the time.
And did you know where he was?
No.
He just vanished.
He just vanished. His mom, nobody knew where he was.
So you thought he could have been dead for all you knew. You didn't know?
Well, I doubt he was dead, because he'd done it plenty of times. Throughout my whole pregnancy, he wasn't exactly stable.
Right.
But 4 years passed on, and in those 4 years, I have made umpteen efforts to invite him up to see his child or to take her within the district I'm living in, because I believe that he left. I'm not going to send my child on a 5-hour journey down to his place when that's inconvenience in her routine.
Yes, of course.
So he's more than welcome to come here, but he won't do that. He doesn't pay maintenance. He doesn't care about her. It's just literally ghosted from her life. And, you know, and she does ask, because she sees friends. And,
yeah, with daddies, you know, yeah.
She's 4 years old. She's getting pretty, you know, she sees what's going on. Mm. She's not stupid. So I just say, daddy's at work. What can I say about that? But then the last few months, he has gotten in contact and he wants to have some sort of a relationship with her. But he's still adamant that he wants to take her down to
his part of the country.
Place of residence. Yeah, and I won't allow that. And I don't think I'm being unreasonable.
I don't think you're being unreasonable either, no. But particularly of the history of the case, I don't think you're being unreasonable.
No, there's always three sides to a story, I say. There's his side, her side, and the truth. Mm-hmm. But there's a child involved, and I've always put her first, because I grew up with two parents, and I know that, you know, having two parents is...
I mean, don't get me wrong. If it was a case that he did it for a while and he compromised with you and did it in your district.
No compromise.
What I'm saying is, let's say, for example, he came up and, you know, he met her, you know, for on a Saturday and brought her out to the zoo. And he was doing this on a regular basis and things became trustworthy. Maybe then in the future you could think about it. You know what I mean?
I would. I'm not a cold-hearted person. I would definitely come to some compromise. But it's his way or no way. And it's sad. It happens. But then, like, you know, I'm tipping on fine. We're absolutely fine without them. It's not like...
So he's paying you no maintenance at all?
No, zero. Nothing. But I'm used to it, sure. I've been doing it for the last 4 years on my own. I'm pretty sure another...
Well, Michael, are you still there?
Yeah.
There's a classic case. There's a fella there, you know, absconding his duties as a father.
He's working. I know where he's working as well. He has a great job that he got from his lovely bachelor's degree. He's working like 9 to 5.
And doesn't pay a bean.
He doesn't pay absolutely nothing. So I do believe that the government...
And can you, by the way, can you not... I'm assuming you've been to the district court already, have you?
No, I don't... That's the thing. Everyone that I know, see, are crazy not taking him to court, but I just don't want to drag myself through that. I didn't ask for this. And if he doesn't want to take up his responsibilities about it, then that's fine. But I'm not going to be going to court.
And are you working?
I am working at the moment, yes.
Okay.
You know, I'm doing everything on my own, but I have a good family behind me, so...
You have a good support, yeah. See, good she just doesn't want to, you know, go through that whole system, have him involved, because unfortunately she believes, obviously, that if she goes to a district court, well, that kind of brings him back into the child's life unwillingly, so to speak.
Yeah, this is another case for getting the money at source without having to get it all personal, you know.
Well, you have to go to court, yeah, you have to go to district court.
Yeah, one thing's in writing, probably you have to go. But it's like we're two adults. Can we not just sit down and say, listen,
clearly
there's
not.
A child here
yeah.
that needs a roof over her head, clothes on her back, food in her stomach. You know, not that she doesn't have all of those because she's spoiled.
But it would be good if he took up his responsibility.
You know,
yeah.
The winter months. Here, listen, I've put €500 worth of oil in the tank for you because it's not like he hasn't a good job. You know,
yeah.
I see him on social media and he has these lovely cars and things.
What a dickhead.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
regularly listens to the Niall Boylan show, so well, I hope that he knows who he is, and I hope that he has some sort of epiphany there.
Right, okay, maybe he'll have an epiphany. what? That's a dreadful thing to do, isn't it, Michael, to abandon your child, essentially?
There's worse men out there, trust me.
Well, no, there is, absolutely, you know what I mean?
But you're lucky you've got your family backing you there. I mean, do you really want them? Like, he has to earn the right... God forbid for me to give... He has to earn the right. If he's serious about getting back into kids' life, he has to earn that right. He has to prove it and show himself kind of thing. But
then again, do you know, I'm actually thinking, though, if he was to come back into her life now, she's four, what's to stop him from coming back out of it again? And then that's just going to mess her completely up for her future.
That's it, exactly.
Have this chat with Malachy Steenson, who's a family law solicitor, who we've had on the air a few times, and I must get him back in, actually, to answer all your questions someday. But he did talk about this, you know, this idea that, you know, say a father who hasn't been in a child's life up to the age of five and, you know, should I let him into the child's life now? Along he comes now and wants to be part of the child's life. And his argument was, according to the law, it's not the right of the father to see the child. It's the right of the child to see the father. And yeah, he may abscond again, you know, after 2 years, but that's something that unfortunately we have to deal with. That there are fathers, and by the way, let's not be, you know, completely biased. There are mothers
There's
in that situation.
As well, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But shouldn't we have that right as a parent to protect our child from that, no matter what?
You don't have a right to deny. No, and I know this sounds wrong, but you don't have a right to deny a father access to his child. It's up to the court to decide that. It's not up to you.
If he's a danger or violent or something, then
you have a right. If you believe he's dangerous to the child, you can tell the court that and then make a decision.
That's the sad thing. He's actually not. He's the best father. Like when she was, you know, a newborn up to 6 months, he was very hands-on and he was a great father. And I just don't know. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm. And are you in another relationship now?
No, I've been 4 years single. I'm absolutely petrified because I don't want to introduce
another man to your child's life.
Man into that. I just, we're happy as
so he has no reason to be bitter, so to speak.
No.
That's just weird, isn't it? It's bizarre, isn't it, how that happens or why that would happen, why any man would want to do that. And yourself, you know, he's on decent money, he's got a good job, you know,
has a great job. And, you know, he was in college for years and years doing this. Like, our whole relationship, it was college. And then he landed this job and he found his feet and...
He
lives in Cork, so I'm up here, up the north.
Yeah.
You know, I'm far from him. I'm about a good 4.5 hours drive from where he is.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's around the corner. And he chose to work there. It's not like, you know, he had to, but he chose it. So he obviously had it in his head that he didn't want to be anywhere near his daughter.
Yeah, well, I think that's sad, you know. And look, even if he doesn't want to be part of his daughter's life, that's entirely his choice, you know.
Yeah.
But I do believe that financially he should have a responsibility and he should fess up to his financial responsibility to the child, be that in a maintenance payment. Or as you rightly said, you know, throw a bit of oil in the tank every now and again.
Yeah. Or even send up, he knows my address, just send up a package full of clothes.
Yeah.
You know, just simple something. Gestures. Just
it is your daughter.
That I'm here, exactly.
Yeah, and if he does listen to the Niall Boylan show, it is your daughter. Have some level of responsibility, as they say, man up, man up. Listen, Anya, thank you very much indeed. It's good to see the other side of the story.